To another episode of the Self-Development with Tactics podcast. Today, we're gonna do something self-help, self-development, whatever, related again. It's actually been some time. I think I haven't recorded in like 2 days, so today's the third day. I'm actually excited. I do always notice that it is something I miss whenever I'm not doing it. Even though, I mean, of course, I have had some days on which I really didn't feel like doing so. And it wasn't that much of a blast doing so. But I think it is okay. I think it is fine. I'll just have to make sure, yeah, that is okay. It's probably going to be a lot of Seth Godin today, or at least a bit of Seth today. Because it is always great to see what he's doing and writing about. So let's have a look. There we go. Done. Here we are. Allocating scarcity. If we are lucky, we invent something that is going to be in high demand. Reservations at a hot restaurant, limited edition trading cards, concert tickets. How to decide who gets them. One attractive option is first come, first served. It feels fair after all. The theory is that people who really want what you have will spend time, in brackets, waste time, in line to show their commitment. But of course, this is a tax and an uneven one at that, since some people value the time more than others. Another is to simply auction off these scarce items. The good news is that the value of the scarce item won't be squandered one time on time wasting, but will go to the company. But this might feel unfair as it rewards people with more assets, as so many things do. On the other hand, it is pretty clear that people allocate resources differently than we might expect. So yeah, indeed, I mean, some people might not have like the resources, but they're still paying for this service or paying for this product or paying for whatever you're auctioning because it is really important for them. The third method, the fairest of all, is to have a lottery. Invite your best customers or charge a commitment fee, and then randomly allocate the loot. The good news is that you won't alienate customers who feel as though it is their fault they didn't wait in line long enough or spend enough. Each decision has effects, and it is up to the producer to decide which options they want to be responsible for creating. I do personally do not like the first one, waiting in line and whatever. This kind of scarcity is one that I really dislike. When you're, you know, indeed feeling bad, waiting in line, and you're hoping that you'll be able to get whatever or come in or whatever, and when it is not the case, you're feeling really shitty because you've wasted a shit ton of time and you didn't get what you wanted to have. So yeah. But maybe on the other hand, when you're then getting it, or you ensure that everyone that is in the line gets whatever you're selling, or at least 90%, it might feel good for them to be like, well, I have spent X amount of time, so I have, you know, done something for it and whatever, and now I'm getting my present, I'm getting whatever I wanted to have, and now it feels good. I don't know. Could either be good, or could also be good. Revisiting stamps for email. I started agitating for this in 1997 and wrote about it in 2006. The problem with the magical medium of email is that it is an open API. Anyone with a computer can plug into it without anyone's consent. This creates an asymmetric attention problem. The selfish short-term thinking center benefits by emailing as many people as possible and the recipients suffer. This doesn't happen with traditional mail because there is cost to sending it. With GPT arriving, expect that spam is going to increase 100-fold, and that it will be eerily personalized, invasive, and persistent. That it will be really difficult to believe that an email isn't junk because there's going to be so much junk and it's going to be harder to filter. And yet email is powerful and convenient, and we've been using it for our entire careers. So is it doomed? Some apps are showing up that are trying to create a paywall for email. An unknown sender has to make a donation to charity. The recipient specifies the amount to reach your inbox. People have tried this off and on for decades, but it is hard. There are two problems with this being widely adopted. The first one is that it creates an attention obligation on the part of the recipient. It's socially awkward to sell access to your inbox and then ignore the email. The second is that there isn't as much of a network effect, and while a few people might adopt it, the problems with email don't improve unless it is widespread and persistent. So here's an alternative. A simple plugin for Gmail and then eventually other providers that tags the email you send and receive. Senders who send more than 50 emails a day needs to buy stamps, perhaps for a penny each. The money goes into escrow. I don't know what this is, but you know, maybe it's something good. Recipients can easily mark an email as unwanted. They can also upvote an email, which will send a signal that allows their peers to be sure they don't ignore what they just got. If enough people mark your emails as unwanted, you lose your escrow. It goes to a worthy cause. If it is legit, the escrow remains and you don't have to buy more stamps. If a sender doesn't use the system, they're not going to be able to reach any of the people who do, so not many people have to be early adopters before it becomes widespread. If you want to reach most people, and you don't know which people have it and which don't, you're going to need to turn on the tagging. It is a tiny cost to pay for attention in a world where attention is scarce. Normal people who won't have to pay anything, an email will get better for them as senders and receivers, and businesses that mean well and do well ought to be happy to pay. If too many senders view the penny stamps as a chance to spam people and lose the penny, then just increase the cost of the stamp to a nickel. And so on and so forth. Pretty soon, algorithmic spamming is simply not going to pay off. Giving anonymous people and organizations the chance to steal your attention all day at scale seems like a worse idea every day. But I still do wonder if it really works. I mean, I'm also getting so many emails and I ignore most of them. You know, also people through Instagram, basically. You know, you can also have an email shown there. And people can then, you know, figure out your email because of that. And I'm also getting a lot of emails that I just clearly know it is just some algorithmic bullshit, some random text that has nothing to do with me. I'm not, you know, it's not like, okay, I'm having this product, I'm having this text, I'm having this email, and I know this person is gonna like it. No, it's just I'm having this email, I'm having this text, and I'm having this person, so it's just, you know, I just give it to this person. It is some random bullshit, and I do wonder if it actually works. Maybe it worked for some time, I don't know. Bob Dobalina. I consider myself someone with an encyclopedic knowledge of a narrow range of mid-1960s TV and certain strains of pop music as well. I was stunned then to hear the song Silk, or Silch, whatever, said ILCH for the first time recently. Bob Dobalina, it's unforgettable, and it is from the Monkees Go Figure. We have long passed a point where anyone can have an encyclopedic knowledge of anything, even the encyclopedia doesn't. The method then is simply to expose ourselves to a stream of provocations and interesting problems and have a hunch on where to look and what we don't already know. Yeah, I think that's going to be it for today. I wish you the best and hopefully see you.